good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is a broad brush, but with a narrow focus for today's broadcast. What happens when you mock God? What happens individually, collectively, societally, nationally, globally? What happens when you mock God? The Bible is very, very clear. God will not be mocked. You can try to spit in the face of God. You can try to deny God. You can try to reject God. You can try to correct God's word and say God made an error. You can try to say there's 157 genders and the gender fluidity that's talked about today. But there's only 2. God created male and female, created he them, according to Genesis 1:27. And yet we have this transgenderism. By the way, before we take our next caller, let me say this. There's no such thing as transgenderism. Trans means to change. You cannot change the gender DNA that God placed in your body. God didn't put a male in a female body or vice versa, as the socialist, Marxist, communist, medical association philosophies have you to believe. It's not so at all. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Thank you very much for taking my call. I answer the question very quickly. You said, what happens to people or a culture that mocks God? Because we are mocking God. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
Well, I would submit that the answer is pretty simple. You find it in the last 12 books of the Old Testament, right? We call them the minor prophets. Well, Israel was doing the same thing in practice that we're doing today. And each one of those 12 books, is, of course, the rest of the Bible does also, tells us that it ain't really a good idea to fall into the hands of an angry God, as David found out.
Right.
But there is something more than just asking that question, is it a good idea, what happens to people who mock God? The better question is, what causes us to do that? That's,
good.
In my point, the salient issue. So I'm going to use one of your good fellows at your church, Dr. Brett Isles, to answer the question. I'd like to tell you something that Dr. Isles said in 2020, and this is very short. He said he was talking about belief. And so he told the story of a man one day who was being interviewed by a Christian man who said to this man, "Well, sir, do you believe?" And the man said, "Well, of course I believe." "Okay, well, good, sir, what do you believe?" "Well, I believe the same thing my church does." "Okay, well, that's great. What does your church believe?" "Well, We believe the same thing. And the problem there is circuitous reason that I've heard you talk about before. Our problem is we don't really believe. And the example of that is what you and I, what you hold to, and I believe I hold a similar position. We live in the latter days. And the Bible tells us that the Satan is on the earth here trying to set up his kingdom. We believe the rapture is coming. We get out of here and don't undergo the wrath of God. But if we really believed that there was something called demonic delusion, which causes people to have gender dysphoria, then we would be acting differently. But we're indifferent to the hell that's coming on this earth. You know what's coming. You know what's right ahead of us. But the vast majority of professing Christians do not. They do not, because, as Brett Isles said, do you believe? Yeah, I believe. What do you believe? Well, I believe what my church believes. People don't know what they believe. And the problem therein is something that you've also said 1,000 times, and I've probably said almost as much. Belief results in action. Mm-hmm. And part of that action is knowing the Word of God. In fact, there's 4 things that I hold that tell us whether we really believe. And first of all, is your focus on Father God. If it isn't, you don't believe, because that's what produces faith, and faith is the foundation of your faith. Secondly, you must know His Word. There is no excuse for not knowing the Word of God, having not read it through cover to cover, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Thirdly, you have to pass it on to your children. You have to teach those that belong to you. There's the smallest church in the world, and that's where you begin to learn about evangelization. You evangelize your own family. Then lastly, right. Do the things that you do things that cause you to identify with God. You know, you go to church. You meet with other Christian people. You advocate for causes that are for, or you militate against those that do not support the things of Father God. So, yeah, why do we mock God, or what happens if we mock God? Well, just watch. We're about to find out. It is laid out in Scripture, and those 12 books of the Minor Prophets tell pretty good what happens when a nation turns its back on God and doesn't listen. And one more thing. I'm going to shut up. You may not like this.
No,
I hope I wasn't that young fellow in your class who said God talks to him. Because yeah. I'm one of those crazy people that hears His voice, but as you said, it never varies from what Scripture says.
Absolutely.
Now, Psalms 119, 97 through 104, gives me the assurance of knowing that if I love God and I'm in His Word, He will speak to me, and He tells me exactly what you quoted from Galatians. God will not be mocked, but there's going to be some real consequences.
Absolutely. Would you let me hold you for another moment?
Sure.
I'm looking at a headline. Here's the percentages of churchgoers who actually read the Bible. A new survey found that only 31% of Protestant churchgoers in America read their Bible. Lifeway Research also revealed some additional intriguing statistics that are likely to spark conversations within Christian communities. Research gives us a powerful lens into Bible reading in America. Quote, according to the State of Discipleship Study, around 3 in 5 Americans who attend religious services once a month, 61%. Regularly read the Bible, 31%. Read the Bible daily, only less than 30% say it's just a few times per week. Some engage once a week, 14%. Some once a month, 11%. Very few said they read the Bible every day. I find that staggering, but I believe that answers the delusion and the question that we're talking about with mocking God. If you're not in the Word, if you don't know the Word, you don't know what God's saying, it's pretty easy to mock God in reality. What say you?
Well, what did that old pastor say as you were driving him to the airport when you were a young man? He held up the Bible in his hands and he said, "Know the Word."
Know this book. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. I think that 31% is a nonsense number. I think the highest that it would be is 10%, and I actually think that less than 0.1% have ever read the Bible, because you've asked a question, do you read the Bible? You have to define what it means to read the Bible.
Correct.
And God tells us how we do that. We have to read it consistently, in context, in contemplation,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
Meditation over the Word of God. And here's the way you find out if somebody's reads the Word of God. You ready? Simple question. I got this great verse of Scripture. Look it up for me. Look up Hezekiah 3:16, would you please? Okay? Watch how many actually start doing it. Is that the Old or the New Testament?
Find the book of John. Find the book of Jonaquil and read 1:6. You know.
There you go. Sure. Absolutely. We don't know the Word of God. I'm gonna beat that drum till I die. That's pretty close at my age, but I'm gonna keep beating that drum. You must know the Word of God. You must know the Word of God. You must know the Word of God.
Absolutely. And if we know the Word, we will not fall into the delusional, woke, progressive society that we find that is so prevalent today. I am concerned. In fact, it goes back to that fundamental verse that you and I are so familiar with. Study to show thyself approved.
Approved unto God.
Unto God. And that word study talks about the strenuous strain of looking at, reading, analyzing, and preparing our lives through the lens of God's Word.
Wouldn't and that's what reading means. That's the answer. Read the Word of God the right way.
Absolutely.
You don't just believe. You have action that comes from belief. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about what happens when you mock God. The Scripture is very, very clear in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today the reaping of the whirlwind that we've sown to in America, and yea, I could say broaden it around the world. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that is good news, I wish it were codified in a legislative process. I'm reading the headline, President Trump issued executive orders that aimed to eliminate protections for transgender individuals that rejected the validity of gender identity, effectively canceling previous efforts to support all transgender rights. These actions include withdrawing protections for transgender students and restricting access to gender-affirming care. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is President Trump has said no more butchery, no more debauchery, no more insurance collection as a result of it. By the way, some studies have proven that the insurance companies put out hundreds of millions of dollars, doctors made hundreds of millions of dollars for the butchery, and it was all on the basis of the love of money, M-O-N-E-Y. I'm looking at a headline, transgender individuals are at a, listen, let me read it. Transgender individuals are at a greater risk of mental health problems. The study, which reviewed 10 years of medical data for the entire population of Sweden, is one of the only analyses of transgender individuals' mental health treatment for depression, anxiety, disorders, suicide, based on the entire country's population. The study found that transgender individuals who had received a diagnosis of gender incongruency were 6 times more likely to have mood and anxiety disorder than the general population. Let me read that again. Individuals who had received a diagnosis of gender incongruence, that is gender dysphoria, and started being treated for it, 6 times more likely to have mood or anxiety disorder than the general public, 3 times more likely to be prescribed antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, more than 6 times more likely to attempt suicide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a staggering research that is found. But one of the things now, one of the things, and I'll get back to the other articles in a moment. One of the things, not only with President Trump signing executive order, but one of the things that has recently taken place that's put the brakes on the ideological bent that a doctor can correct God's mistakes. Headline, detransitioner wins $2 million against the New York docs who pushed double mastectomy. A 22-year-old woman who identified as a boy in her teen years won a $2 million decision and a landmark lawsuit against New York doctors accused of pushing a double mastectomy on her when she was just a minor. It gives her name, had had life-altering surgery when she was just 16 years old, getting approval from a psychologist and a surgeon, both of whom a jury found liable of medical malpractice on January the 30th. The young lady, now 22, and considered a detransitioner, was awarded $1.6 million for past and future pain and suffering, and an additional $400,000 for future medical expenses in the first detransitioner malpractice lawsuit in the nation to go on trial and win. Now 22 years old, underwent top surgery in 2019 at the age of 16 to remove both of her breasts, which were wrongly presented by doctors as a solution for her gender dysphoria, a jury ruled. Psychologist, and I'll not call his name, and surgeon, I'll not call his name, were held totally responsible in the Westchester County Supreme Court in White Plains for ignoring standards of care and procedural guardrails by pressuring the minor into addressing gender dysphoria with permanent surgery, the jury decided. Lawyers for the young lady pointed the finger at the doctor, saying he drove the train and was pushing the idea into her head that she needed to change her gender with surgery, according to the reports. The young lady's mother testified that she was against the surgery, but consented to it out of fear that her daughter would commit suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, the mantra has been for over a decade now, and the counselors, the psychologists and physicians, the surgeons talking with parents, would be simply this, and I've read it 1,000 times in the research articles. Had you rather have a dead, a live boy, or a dead girl? The mindset is telling parents, you've got a boy that wants to be a girl, thinks he's a girl. You rather have a live girl or a dead son? It was a lie, a demonic delusion. It's a demonic lie. And ladies and gentlemen, this demonic lie is now coming to a cease. It's coming to a screeching halt because the brakes have been put on a financial level, where a physician and a psychologist have been found to be guilty of malpractice. And I think that's putting it politely. Malpractice. And now as a result of that, I've got a sheaf of documents where hospital after hospital after hospital after hospital, if I could repeat in redundancy, now have said, we will no longer do transitional surgeries. Doctors are falling off the bandwagon of transgender surgeries like fleas off a dead dog's back, if I can use that country terminology. This article goes further. This man was just so emphatic, the mother talking about the counselor and the psychologist and the doctor. This man was just so emphatic and pushing and pushing and pushing that I felt there was no good decision except what he was saying. Quote, I think it was a scare tactic. I don't believe it was malice. I think he believed that he was saying what he was saying, but he was very, 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 very wrong, the mother said in the court case. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a headline, multiple pages, outlining the doctors and the hospitals now that have already notified the world, we'll no longer butcher your daughter. We'll no longer butcher your son. That's my term, not theirs. These hospitals suspended transgender care amid Trump's executive order. Hospitals across the country are suspending or reevaluating their gender-affirming care programs for patients under 19 years of age, creating fear and confusion amongst transgender youth and their families, the writer says. Those who have put out public statements cited President Trump's executive order that directed federal agencies to take action against any hospital that continued to provide care, including threatening to cut off federal funds and grants. and it starts listing them. The article says, right now, hospitals, healthcare systems are subject to the requirements to do anything that will do anything in that realm whatsoever, enforcing the executive order. They have stopped performing gender-affirming surgeries for patients under 19. And then the article continues, University Hospital of Colorado, the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, Virginia Commonwealth University and Children's Hospital. It goes on and on and on. But then that Letitia James in New York has sent a letter saying that they don't have to abide by the executive order of Donald Trump's. You couldn't expect it. You couldn't expect any different from Letitia James. But that's another story for another time altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens when you mock God? The Bible is very, very clear when you mock God what takes place. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today for Christians, conservatives, and patriots, and yea, even every citizen across the board, to understand that you can't spit in God's face and not reap the whirlwind as a result of it. It is a difficult thing, but a very clear picture, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at another headline. Mental health diagnosis among transgender patients in the clinical setting. Listen to this statistical number. Of 10,270 transgender patients identified, 58% had at least one psychiatric diagnosis, compared with only 13.6% of the controlled patient population. Transgender patients had statistically significant increase in prevalence for all psychiatric diagnoses, with major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder being the most common. There's a relatively large research related to mental health diagnosis in transgender persons. There's been a clear and consistent data showing an increased risk of mood and anxiety disorders in transgendered individuals, and there is emerging evidence looking at increased rates of bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance use. And the article goes page after page after page after page, and may I repeat that, after page, of diagnosis findings in those that are transgender patients or that have gone through the transgender debauchery called transgender surgery, gender care surgery. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Your recent caller just kind of touched on that a little bit. I think it's Psalms 19 and about verse 4 or 6, somewhere along in there. The nation that forgets God is turned into hell. And right now, just open our eyes and look what's happening to us today as a nation, how we have forgotten God, and this is a whirlwind that we're reaping now.
Brother, you're exactly right. One of the things that I've had people to ask, and I will allow you the opportunity to respond briefly, what should Christians do, knowing what we know, hearing what we're hearing today, knowing the statistical numbers of those that are out there, and I've got other article after article. Here's a headline, Bloody Trans Rampage at Boys Hockey Game Brought to an End by a Good Samaritan. After a week of trans-identifying man went on rampage, Western Canada, killing 6 children and 2 adults, another man who masqueraded as a woman allegedly took aim at innocents, this time at a local skating rink in Rhode Island. So the question is, Brother Davis, how should we respond to it? We know this. We have the facts. I had a lady not too long ago called on the broadcast, said, well, what should we do? So let me pose that question with what we're talking about today. Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? So what is the answer to that, in your opinion, as a Christian?
I think we should do just like the doctor that told you, know this book. And when we know what we know that we know, then we need to not be ashamed to share it with others so that they will know. And that's it. We've got to enlighten. We're supposed to be the light, as you mentioned, the light and the salt of the earth. And if we don't let our light shine and then pour a little salt into it sometime to preserve it, we're on a downward spiral.
Absolutely. And Brother Davis, let me say this. Not In fact, we've got an LED sign out on our campus. It's changeable copy. We add and modify and change the things on it often. Not too long ago, we had an article that said all homosexuals are going to go to hell. And he gave the scripture reference, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And you would have thought I'd shot the president. The idiots in the local media got all uptight, took pictures of it, plastered it on the news, and how debauched we were and what we were saying. The thing that I find that is so relevant, I believe, to the conversation today, most Christians, most pastors, most churches are petrified to tell the truth based on the authority of the Word of God. They're afraid some idiot media person is going to come out and challenge on that. I find it absolutely ironic that Christians want to hide under the bed, hide in the closet, and will not face issues that we're talking about today. There's a need for Christians to come out from under the bed, come out of the closet, to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. And this is one of those examples that I believe is very, very clear, plainly clear, as to the stand that Christians ought to take. God's not mocked. If we sow to the wind, we're going to reap to the whirlwind. Whatever man soweth, that will he also reap. And we'll reap later. We'll reap more, and we'll reap in a greater intensity than we've sown. And that's what we see taking place. So my challenge is, and I pray that it is a challenge and encouragement to all that are listening, and it's your position, that we need to study the Word, know the Word, be obedient to the Word of God, and stop hiding our light under the bed.
Amen. Brother, and I say, just put that sign back up on your billboard.
We do often on things. By the way, another sign that we had not too long ago said, is it possible for a Democrat to be an American? And the media went ballistic on that, took pictures of it, put it on the news. And 2 weeks later, Sean Hannity was asking the same question. And I understand that he's got one of his staff that lives down in Ponte Vedra that probably read it or heard it. So I'm glad it spread the good news that
we need to do
as Christians.
Get the word out.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue that I believe the bottom line is, as Christians, the challenge for Christians today is to recognize that our time is short. We're witnessing the final of the final days before the rapture of the church takes place. It is time that Christians be real salt and real light in the society in which we're living in. Stop being silent. Stop being afraid. And if you're in a church where the pastor is afraid to talk about these issues from a central biblicist worldview, ask him why is he not talking about things that we need to be discussing and facing as Christians to truly be salt and light in society. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen before it's eternally too late. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
It does.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1.